Okay, let's start. We'll start with an article, well, actually a book review. So I can't access the entire book on Google, but we can access the Kirkus Reviews. It's a book review, online book review. It was written by Sandy Eisenberg Sassou. Who is Sandy Eisenberg Sassou? Jewish, I guess, geography. She's the first Reconstructionist woman rabbi in, I guess, the world. She's elderly now, I think, at this point. She was ordained 50 years ago, give or take, whatever it is. So rabba, whatever you want to call her, Sandy Eisenberg Sassou, she wrote a children's book. She's also a children's author. And she wrote a book called The Shema in the Mezuzah, 2012. And I'll read it to you. I'll read you the review. Again, I can't access the entire book, but if you'll bear with me, the review does a good job of getting to what we want. It's an old story of compromise, helps a little girl understand the reasoning behind the slanted placement of a doorpost mezuzah. Annie knows it's important in Jewish homes to have a mezuzah in the doorway with the words of the Shema prayer. And what is Shema? That's the affirmation of Judaism. Okay. Enclosed on special paper. When she asks why the mezuzah is hung in a leaning position rather than vertically or horizontally, her grandmother recounts the story of a village. Half the people think it right to post their mezuzah standing up, since the prayer is said when awakening, and the other half think it correct to post it lying down to recognize its recitation at bedtime. A shouting match ensues, with one side standing up against others lying down. Double page spreads and deep whose, created by acrylic marker and crayon, depict the fray. Equally alienated groups in increasingly agitated positions and with ever wider mouths are shown amongst the progressively larger font. Okay. The wise rabbi introduces a compromise by suggesting a slanted or leaning position. Grandmother reinforces the importance of conciliation, extending the principle of Shema beyond this conflict, and we quote, "We stop arguing, we stop yelling at each other, we listen, we are one." This is a thought-provoking and satisfying tale plumbing an element of Jewish life many children may not have considered. Should we recommend this book by Reconstructionist Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sassou, illustrated by Joni Keller Rothenberg, release date August 23rd, 2012? Are we pro the ideas in this book or not? According to Sandy Eisenberg Sassou, the reason why we have a slanted mezuzah is to show conciliation between the townspeople. Some who wanted it straight up, some who wanted it lying down. But you're pro or anti that concept?
It's nishter.
Nishter. You don't get anything. No?
That is the reason that I heard.
That is the reason why I heard. So you agree with Sandy Eisenberg Sassou. Okay. So let's open up another source. Not maybe as crucial or as important as Sandy, but it's called the Gemara in Menachos. Let's see. Let's see what the Gemara in Menachos says. So the Gemara in Menachos has a very vague Gemara. The Gemara says, let's see. Don't Sfardim keep it straight, someone says. Okay. Let's see. Are you Sfardi? Are you a pro? Sfardis don't like compromises? You said that on the tape, not me. Let's see. Let's see if that's true. We're going to have problems with Sandy Eisenberg Sassou. Says the Gemara. Here we go. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Asah k'min nagar. If you make your mezuzah like a nagar, I think the best translation of a nagar is a bolt in the door. If you make it like a bolt in the door, psu, it's puzzle. Ani says the Gemara, is that true? Va'aki yasir Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, amar kul mezuzas debei Rabbi, k'minagar hava. If you went to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's house, and you looked at his mezuzas, all the mezuzas would be like a bolt.
What does that mean?
Not a clue what a bolt means. Not a clue. I'm just reading you the Gemara.
It'd be a lightning bolt.
Not a clue. Nagar. I think it means a bolt.
Horizontal, usually a bolt.
Says the Gemara.
A bolt back in the day.
I don't know. Nagar. I don't have a better translation for Nagar. I know Rashi says, I'll read to you what Rashi says. Oh, and I can't read to you Rashi yet, sorry. Yeah, says the Gemara, what about Rebbe, because I'll give away too much. Says the Gemara, so at Rebbe's house, they were all like bolts. Says the Gemara, you think you understand this so far? Lo kasha ha davida kisichsa ha davidi ki istavira. Well, sometimes, some places, if it's made like a siksa, I think it's good. And if it's made, is a pasul one. And if it's made like an istavira, it's kosher. I hope you're as confused as I am. So, what does this Gemara mean? Shockingly, there are at least two explanations to understand when a mezuzah is kosher and when it's pasul like a bolt. And in fact, if you look at these Gemaras, not only do we have words, we have visual aid over here, okay? Rashi drew pictures for you, because so you don't look at me so crazy and as puzzled. Rashi was obviously knew that you were all going to be puzzled, and he drew pictures for you. Rashi says, what does it mean that it's puzzled keminagar? Shekava, you set it up, v'tochva bisaf, and the doorway, kinagar, like a bolt, shetokvin. Oh, this is rubbed out a little bit. The next word is rubbed out. But what it means is shetokvin hanagar, I guess, pekoso kizeh. Okay, pasul. To mitzvah. In other words, if you stick it in like this, which is horizontally, yeah, stick it into the door like the mezuzah like this, then that is pasul. However, the Gemara later on explains, if you make it straight, ka'orech, like the length like this, it is kosher. So according to Rashi, what the upshot of this Gemara is when you stick it in horizontally, in other words, you take the mezuzah, I'm trying to think the best way to say it in English, but I guess horizontal and vertical, we'll use those words. If you put it in horizontally, in other words, you stick the mezuzah in the door, I maybe like, I don't know how you would attach it.
They would chisel out.
Okay, you chisel, or even if you have a smaller mezuzah, and you just leave it hanging there. Yeah. Anyway, it would be pasul. According to Rashi, in order for it to be kosher, it needs to be with the orech like vertical lined up. Not a word about slanted. According to this understanding of the Gemara,
is going into the door. But what about horizontal on the outside of it?
Right. That could also be. It could also be horizontally. Yeah. Right. Correct. So we don't know. That would be problematic, presumably, because according to Rashi, it needs to be standing up, it sounds like, in order to be kosher. Guess what Tosa says?
The exact opposite.
Tosa says, no. What this Gemara means is that when a nagar was, I guess, up straight up, and that would be pasul, but what would be kosher is if you place it down, horizontally, that would be the kosher way. So you now have a humongous machlokas between Rashi and I think it's his grandson, Rabbi Tam, over here in Tosas, who disagree whether the mezuzah is supposed to be completely straight up against the door or flat like horizontally on the door. How do we? Yeah.
Are you allowed to disagree with your grandson?
Well, in general, Rabbeinu Tam argues that, I mean, it's the wrong chevra over here to say that grandchildren are allowed to argue with their grandparents, but the simple explanation is he did it for kavod, and it was, again, Agdil Torah V'Yadir, didn't the Rebbe teach me? I'm sure Rabbeinu Tam was very respectful. So you see now, who can bring me a proof from something else where we take something, and I'll give you a hint. We leave something which is in the realm of Kisvei Kodesh, something very holy, yeah, and we put it in a certain direction.
A Torah.
Which way?
Straight up.
When you put a Torah in the Arun Kodesh, straight. Which way do you put it? You put it straight up. That is a proof for who? Rashi or Tosfos?
Rashi.
What's the proof for Tosfos? Now, you're not going to think about it because we don't follow this, and I'm going to explain it to you later on. Tosa says,
when you're laying the Sefer Torah, you lay it flat down.
Oh, we're going to get to the laying it flat down in a second. You're not exactly right about that. Oh, what is it? It's what is it? What's it on? Say it loud. It's on a slant. Hold that thought for a second, yeah?
But the Sfardim have it straight up.
Okay, the Sfardim have their Sefer Torah. What? The Sefer Torah? Oh, I hear you. That's a good point.
Excellent.
I wonder if that's connected. I didn't see anyone say that, but we'll see in a second. So, but what about, what else do we have flat? I'll give you a hint. You have to go back to the time of the Midbar. What carried the Torah in the Midbar?
The Aron.
And yeah, the Aron. And where was, how was the Torah in the Aron?
Flat.
Flat. How are the luchos in the Aron?
Flat.
So no, says Tosos.
How do you know that?
Tosos says it. I don't know. Tosos says, I read to you. He says. No, you know, it wasn't. He says, I find you the washroom. I find the safe. Oh, it says, the safer Torah, the Luchoshab Aron Mushkov. I guess it says in Gemara Bava Basra. It's Gemara Bava Basra. That's your doubt. You can check it up. I didn't look it up. Safer Torah, the Luchoshab Aron. The Sefer Torah and the Luchos Shabbat Mushkov were lying down Lo Mumud. He says, Kidamashram Parakam with the Bava Basra. He said, even though you could have put it standing up, he says, because the length and the width were equal, he says, no, it sounds like the Bava Basra that was flat down. So you got on one end, you got the Aron and the Luchos in the Aron, and the time of the Mishkan, it was flat down. That's a proof to Tosos. Now, but you look at our Sefer Torahs.
Standing up.
They're standing up. What else? No? What else is Kisvei Kodesh? You got a Sefer Torah, you got a Mezuzah, you're missing one of them. What's the third one? What's
Svar?
What's Stam? Sefer Torah, Stam is the acronym for Sefer Torah. Tefillin. How are the Parshios in your tone? You started making, what was your emotion? Standing up, says Yaakov is standing up. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's a proof to me, it says Tosafot, it's a proof to me that it's flat. How? Because my tefillin, I put him down flat, he says. The tefillin, it says, this is a proof that the tefillin should be, the parshas of the tefillin, when you put him in the batim, in the boxes, are lying down. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I got two proofs. Number one, the Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh and the Mikdash, they were flat. The tefillin, the parshas and the tefillin, for me, are flat. Rashi says, I've got the Sefer Torah in the Aron, and what will Rashi say about the tefillin? He should say they're standing up. Okay, so now you have a huge fundamental machlokas in basically all of Stam, which is Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos, right? You have how things should be. Should they be standing up? Should they be lying down? So what do you need to do? You need to take a Shulchan Aruch and see how we pass it. And this will lead us to our Sfardi Minog. Tzricha, I mean, Hilchus Mezuzah, Reish Pei Tezvav, Tzricha, Leos, Zekufa, it needs to be standing up, Arka, Leorech, HaMezuzas, HaPesach, the length has to be like the doorpost length. So in other words, we paskin like, it has to be like this, which is exactly like Rashi. To Svardim, don't bring any other opinion, according to the Svardim, Halacha is, it should be, standing up, no slant, no anything. Now, we have to go back to our posik of the generation. Suzanne, what's her name? I forgot her name already. Susan Rosenberg. Yeah. Susan Rosenberg Sassu, who's got all of his compromises in mezuzahs and stuff, is casting dispersion on the entire Bukharian and Sephardi community. Because if that the point where we slanted is for compromise, so what, the Sephardim don't believe in compromise? Russia don't respond to that. But seriously, it can't be that we don't like that it's only based on a compromise reason, because Shulchan Aruch paskins straight up like Rashi. Comes along the Ramah and says, V'chei Noagu. He says, that's the way we paskin. But he says, Avoyesha Omrim, some say, he quotes Tosos, Shepsulab is a kufa. It's not supposed to be straight up. It's supposed to be lying down. It's Rikhli Shkuva, Arkul Arak, but it has to be flat. So therefore, Vamedaktikin, people are careful, Yotzin Yedei Shnehem. You'll be Yotze both opinions, Omeinichin Oso B'Shipua, you'll put it on a slant, Ova Alchason, V'chein Roy Winog. That's the proper thing to do, V'chein Noagin B'Medinos Ewu. And that's what we do in our country.
But it isn't vertical, it's horizontal.
So the problem is Mr. Eisen keeps yelling at me over here, he's got a great point. You're not getting Rashi, you're not getting Tosus, so you're compromised like no one. But says Ramah, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So what's the answer to your question? The answer to your question, if you think about it, you could flip it. It's not like Tosus, meaning you're not violating Tosus' principle by having it straight up, but you're also not violating Rashi's principle of don't have it lying down. By putting it slant, you get neither of them, but you also get little of both of them.
How far off can you go from the vertical?
Hold on one second. So comes along the Ramah and explains. Is Susan Rosenberg, whatever her name is she correct according to the Ramah? A little bit it was a compromise, but
some were saying it's like Rashi and some were saying
and Tosis. Yeah. But the question is, was it done as a compromise to make everyone happy? I'm not sure. It was done, as Mr. Eisen pointed out, because you couldn't just make a compromise. You can't say, oh, if one posik says it's supposed to be like this, yeah. You know, you can't, and this, you can't just in general do a compromise. Here you could do a compromise to answer Mr. Eisen's question, because you're really accomplishing both by putting it slanty, because the whole Gemara says, Rashi says, don't make it flat. Tosis says, don't make it standing. So you get both of them when they're slanted.
Within 45 degrees.
So I don't know. We're going to get to that in a second. Yeah. Right?
Don't make it.
That's what the Gemara had said.
They're not making it that way.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a unique case. So it's not necessarily a compromise. It's an accomplishing both. I'm not anti-compromise. Trust me. But lawyers are in general anti-compromise because we lose money from it. Because the more we compromise, the less build we could build for it. But yeah.
It's not horizontal or vertical.
Correct, but that's okay, because according to the Gemara's lashon was, if you make like a nagar, it's pasul. So according to Rashi, that meant a nagar puts it flat. According to Tosos, nagar puts it straight. So by you putting it slant, you're accomplishing both. You're getting check for Rashi, check for Tosos. It's not like you're compromising, merging the shitas. You're just getting rid of both. You like this, you don't like this at all. Okay, comes along the Vilna Gaon. Comes along. Well, we're not talking about pregnancy over here. One second. Comes along. Now, by the way, this gets to your point. That's why our bima is slanted. I've never, if you think about it, I've never seen an unslanted bima. Now, why? I always thought the reason is because it's easier to read. Yeah. But it's not always so true. When you're leaning over, it's not always so easier when it's a slanted bima. Sometimes it would be easier if it would be, you know, you'd look down at it and see it flat. I've never seen a flat beam, a totally
not
flat
a
beam.
Yeah,
fine, but that's ad hoc. Fine, but that's ad hoc. Ad hoc.
Huh?
Right, shtenders are all down like this. So I wonder if that's if they say. I saw something to say from Madani Usher. He suggests maybe the reason why our bimas are slanted is really like this idea, because we don't want to be rashitosis. There are a couple of problems though, because how do we put our Sefrei Torah in the Aron? Straight up. How do we put our tefillin in the boxes, the cloth? Yeah, we lean the Sefer Torah only because that's also it doesn't fall over. And, right. And I think we would sometimes, if you have a tight chain, you would put it straight standing up. I mean, sometimes you have a tighter chain, you want to fit it in neatly, you do. We have no problem with that. It's more of just a practical issue. But comes along the Vilna Gaon and he says he doesn't like this. Says the Vilna Gaon, he says, Avo Inyan, first he quotes this whole Machlokas, Rashi Tosis, and he says, Avo Inyan Dina, he says, we follow like Rashi. So even though he's Ashkenaz, the Vilna Gaon says, you put him directly straight up. And what's his proof? He says, I don't get it, you're a hypocrite. If you put your mezuzah slanted, you know what you're basically saying? That it's a compromise between Rashi and Tosis. Well, what do you do for your batim? Your tefillin are slanted? No. Are your Sefer Torah slanted? Not really. I mean, we do it now for practical. And he says, look, take a Mishnah Berurah by Hilchos Tefillin and see what the Ramah, who was the one who said he make a compromise, see what he himself writes about tefillin. And he opened it up and he says, the Shulchan Aruch says, and Ramah doesn't argue, Yitin kol parsha bebayishawa, you put every parsha in the bottom of the tefillin, in the boxes, shtei zekufa me'umad bebeisa, standing straight up. So says the Vilna Gaon, if you really buy into the Ramah, you're really a big fan of compromise, look at the Ramah himself. No comment by tefillin. So he says, the Ramah was saying, okay, it's a nice idea to put the mezuzah slanted, but you want to do the correct thing? You should put your mezuzahs straight up. Does anyone follow this Vilna Gaon practically lahalacha? Okay, let's see. So you look at, if you go to Bnei Brak, and you go to the house of Chazon Ish and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and I will read to you from the Sefer Archos, if I could pull it up over here. There we go. Archos Rabbeinu, which is this from a Talmud of the Stipler, who was the father of Chaim Kanievsky. He writes like this. Yeah. Omer li Moreinu v'Rabbeinu. The Stipler told me that the Chazon Ish said, she'esa mezuzah yesh l'kvoa mashehu, just a teeny weeny bit slanted. Why? Because we follow like the Vilna Gaon. It should be standing straight up. eye, if you put it standing straight up, you know what's going to happen? Your future son-in-law is going to come to your house to date your daughter. And what's going to happen? He's going to look at the mezuzah, walk right out. You're a nut job. What are you doing? You don't know anything about halacha. You're messed up. This is the first thing you enter the house. He says, you don't want to be weird. So you do shakovim ba'alchson. You command a mashu alchson. So give me the degrees. What are we, 10 degrees? 10 degrees maybe. You if it's totally, it's 45, right? Bear my math, non-knowledge, right? So it would be a 45 degree angle if it was totally slanted. So you make it 5 degrees, 10 degrees. No, am I right about that? Am I wrong about the numbers over here? Whatever it is. Right? So
90?
No, 90 would be like this.
No.
I thought 90 is like this. No, 90 is horizontal. I'm a lawyer. I don't know this stuff. But it's, I think 45. Right. So 45 would be like this. So I think, let's say, I'm making up numbers over here. 5, 10. You did his mashu a little bit. He says, "Va'osim ba'alchaso mamish." If you put it 45. Lo yotzin shitas rabbeinu tam titzar shchiva veloshin. That's exactly what he said. He said, "Nishtan it there." Whatever the phrase is in Yiddish, in English. Okay, I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try to repeat it. You're neither here nor there. That's easier to say.
Switch direction.
So the Shulchan Aruch does. It's a whole other shir. I believe it's the. I always forget. It's Shema, which is so fagbil with sad chutz. So I think it's the. What? So it's the outside is the bottom to the outside. I always forget. Don't quote me on that. I just have to remember, which I don't never know.
Slated towards the inside.
Right, it's slated towards the inside. I think. Right. But I don't quote me. I have to look at that again. I never remember what that means because I think it says Shema Dainu Sofa Gwila with side chutz to the outside. So it's. I'm not sure. And then he says, I'm not sure which way it goes. I think it's when you enter, it should be the top, should be towards the entrance, but I'm not sure. Yeah. V'chavinche, Rosha Mezozah Dainu Shema with side Pnim. Yeah, inside. V'shita Achrona with side Chutz. So I think if you're going inside, it would be like this. You know. Okay. But says the Chazon Ish, so if you do your nice little 45 degree angle, you haven't accomplished anything. But you should do it 10 degrees or whatever it is to make it Yotzei everyone. Others disagree and say, no, you could put it exactly aslant. And it's fine. The Avne Yoshua Talmud of Rabbi Yashiv says, don't be such a chacham. Just do what the Minhag Olam is and put it slanted and everything will be all right. Now, final issue is what about Besfardim? Now, Besfardim should follow the Shulchan Aruch straight up. Besfardim should put it straight up, straight up. Yeah, no pun intended. They should follow straight up Shulchan Aruch and put it straight. Says the Madani Yashiv, some Besfardim didn't want to, you know, wade into this machlokas either, and what they did is they also put it sideways, and Rabbi Avadia Yosef says that's fine, but if you ask an ideal Sephardi what the ideal way to do it, and you're going to have to look at a Sephardi house, they would put it, the pure Sephardi, they would put it straight up. Now comes another controversial question, and then we'll end with the thought about whether Sally Rosen, whatever her name was, Rosenberg, whether she had the right idea or not. Yeah? So comes along Rabbi Avadia Yosef and asks, what about a great question? Happens in this neighborhood, happens often. You're an Ashkenazi, yeah? You have your nice little house over there, you have your mezuzahs slanted on the wall, and you don't take the mezuzahs when you leave, we'll talk about that another shir, but you don't take your mezuzahs when you leave, and you sell it to a Bukharian family. Bukharians move in, they see your mezuzahs on the wall.
Have to straighten out old mezuzahs.
Yes or no?
Or get new mezuzahs.
Yes or no? You got to strain all the mezuzahs or not? Yeah, Svardim put it straight up, Ashkenazim put it sideways, we just said slanted.
They would put it straight
up. Are they mechuyim? They make a new bracha, they take it down to put up theirs and make a new bracha? Says Rabbi Avadia Yosef, a Svardi individual that purchased a house from mezuzahs that are already affixed, slanted, need not take them down and reaffix the mezuzahs in a standing up position. He can rely on the slanted.
Need not.
That's my own language. That's my own. I have to look back at. Okay. Is he allowed to? You have to question the bracha. Is it bracha of atala? Because if you take it down for no reason.
You're not taking it down, you're moving one now.
I hear you. That's an interesting point. I hear you. You're saying you're not actually taking it down. That's a good question. I don't know. I was assuming that you were taking it down, just to, like, you pull it off. It's like scotch tape or something. I don't know. I was thinking. I don't know. If it's a nail, you're just under one nail and you're moving it, then I don't know. Let's assume the case is that you take it off. If you take it off, because I don't know that case. If you take it off, and you put it back on, often you need a new bracha. But over here, and we'll talk about that also. So that's a whole discussion. Come back in a few weeks, we'll do that. That's not so pashut. And then you may need a new bracha in that case. Depends how long it's off, it depends what your intent is. But over here, if the Svarim come, because they don't want your mezuzah, they got their own mezuzah and they're taking it off, or they want yours and they want it done right, and they don't think it's done correctly, you possibly need a bracha. It says Bavad Yosef, don't do that. Keep the slanted mezuzah. You rely on the Shulchan Gavoh, the Sfardi Posik, who is the one who said that you can keep it on a slant, even Sfardim, and that would be Shama Yisrael.
What about the
Shidduch?
When they
get the Shidduch. The Shidduch is a whole separate discussion. Okay, we need to end with one point. Sfardi says Ashkas, so then that's another question. Sfardi says Ashkas, so I don't know. Could you rely on the Chazanish? Probably, if it's totally straight, you should move it and move it to a slant. Because even the Chazanish didn't want to follow that building, only wanted a little bit of a slant. Once you make it already a little bit of a slant, so if your sheet is to make it in general, so you can make it slanted. We need to end with one more marmakum. Yeah? So is that Sally Sandy Eisenberg says so, is she correct or not? Is it based on a compromise? So the answer is a little bit yes, a little bit no. A little bit, this shita came because we want to accomplish both Rashi and Tosis. But sure enough, everything there's anything called Chadash Takas Hashemesh. It's not only Sandy Eisenberg who says this shtickle. Rabbi Yoel Gold from Video Fame. Everyone know Rabbi Yoel Gold? Yeah? So Yoel Gold makes these cool videos, mamish, a whole thing. Rabbi Yoel Gold writes in an article, yeah? He's talking about the cloud above Chai Sarah, in last expiration, the cloud above Sarah's tent. The cloud above the tent symbolizes Shalom Bayis, peace and tranquility in the home, a blessing we all pray for. At the entrance to our homes, there is a mezuzah. The mezuzah is affixed to the doorpost on a slant, not straight and rigid. This is a lesson to us all, that upon entering into our homes, we must remember that nothing is worth the bickering, arguing, or harsh words. The lesson of the slanted mezuzah teaches us the importance of compromise, to be flexible and yielding. By giving in a little this way and a little that way, our home will be blessed with peace and harmony. Mm-hmm. It's not only a Reconstructionist rabbi. You have an Orthodox rabbi, and I saw Reb Jachter, Chaim Jachter, who's a Tinek, one of the biggest Talmid Chum. I love his English, writes in English, excellent articles that he writes. He writes in one of his articles that this is one of the sources that, you know, of having multiple shitas in Klai Yisrael, and that we are flexible, you know, that we're flexible in how we act. Part of this mezuzah, we are flexible in the halacha over here to kind of compromise in a very unique situation. Rashi tells us, so why over here and not anywhere else? So the suggestion is because the first thing you do, you enter into a house, is you see that mezuzah. And who am I? I'm preaching to the choir over here. You have married much longer than me, some of you. So it's the answer is, when you enter into a bias, you know, part of the most important thing you can have is, in Shalom Bayis, is the idea of the ability to be able to compromise. Not easy, and I, you know, speak from my own experience, and I'm sure many of you have your own experience as well. It's not always easy to compromise, but the mezuzah, when you think that, you're supposed to think of that lesson, that in general we're supposed to compromise, both in our house, both in Klal Yisrael, and with that, hopefully we'll have Shalom al Yisrael.